is first up. Every morning, come and hang on first up. The only show that brings the bang. It's first up.
You're listening to First Up on TSN 1050.
This is First Up.
You ain't first, you're last. First up for the first day of December 2021. Welcome in. Thank you for being with us. I'm Aaron Korolnik. Carlo Koliakovo away today and tomorrow, and filling his size 9.5 shoes is our man Dave Festruck from the Toronto Star. Carlo actually probably has larger. I'm in size 9.5. He must be at least an 11.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
A man of Carlo's heft, there's no way he's wearing 9.5s.
Heft.
9.5s could not support that Adonis-like body.
I could not possibly agree more. Festruck's with us for the next couple of hours. We have Liam McHugh from the NHL on TNT. Leo Routens will join us at 9:30 to talk about a Raptors game last night that I don't think anyone saw coming as far as their production or lack thereof offensively, scoring 91 points against the worst defensive team in the NBA in the Memphis Grizzlies. It was a star-studded affair last night. Like Simu Liu, you know him from the Marvel. I think what was the movie? I forget what it was. The newest Marvel movie, or one of the newest Marvel movies.
I'm sure 20 Fingers knows.
Oh, yeah, he knows. He loves the Marvel. He's also on Selling Sunset. I don't know if you are dialed into that show on Netflix, but
no, is it good?
No, it's absolutely horrible, okay. But I do enjoy it. It's like a reality TV show, real estate, beautiful homes, and he was buying a house, and he really seems like a really nice guy from Toronto, and he's become an international superstar. So he was down there. Nazem Kadri was down there, formerly of the Toronto Maple Leafs, now of the Colorado Avalanche, who are in town tonight to take on the Red Hot Leafs. But, I mean, it's a battle of two of the hottest teams in the league, right? The Leafs winning 14 of 16. The Avs are scoring more goals than anyone, and they're getting their best player back tonight in Nathan MacKinnon. So should be a good test for the Leafs for sure. But looking back at last night's performance for the Raps, and let's keep in mind, OG Anunoby was out.
Yep.
Gary Trent Jr. was out.
Sure.
Cam Birch was out. But on the other side, I mean, Memphis was missing Ja Morant. I mean, Ja Morant's one of the best young players in the NBA. Clearly Memphis's best player. So the injury excuse does not really apply for the Raptors. They just put on a pretty dreadful performance at home, something that has been far too common for this team so far this season, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, you're 2-8 at Scotiabank Arena. I mean, that is unacceptable, to say the least. You can't expect to be the playoff team they hope to be and be 2-8 at home. And by the way, with not a particularly difficult schedule, AK, like if you look at the strength of schedule ratings, they've had one of the easier collections of opponents that anyone has had in the NBA. And the thing that worries you, the thing that you're just seeing again and again, AK, is this lack of ability to do the thing you're supposed to be able to do in basketball, which is put the thing in the hoop. And for this team to be going up against last night, the worst defensive team in the NBA, and not be able to break 90, what is it? They got
91. They had 91 points.
91 points against the worst team on the defensive side of the ball in the league. I mean, this just goes to show you, like, and you see what they did. You see what the Grizzlies identified exactly how you beat the Raptors, which is they got Dylan Brooks, you know, Mississauga's own.
Yeah.
Dylan Brooks hounded Fred VanVleet, made Fred VanVleet's life very difficult. And we all know, like, Fred VanVleet has got the most difficult life in the NBA because this team is useless without him on the floor. They're lost at sea without Fred VanVleet on the floor. And then when Fred VanVleet is not able to score and create offense with penetration and be a threat from three-point range, they're even harder up to get a bucket. So to go hard at Fred VanVleet like the Grizzlies did with, you know, sicking Dylan Brooks on him, a nice physical long defender, it absolutely decimated the Raptors' offense. And by the way, every other NBA team's going to notice that. And I think Fred VanVleet is going to be in for a lot of that this season, which is going to be very difficult for him.
Man, I love Dylan Brooks' game. And he had a poor shooting performance. I think he was 4-for-17 or something from the field. But
still
that kid,
well,
he wanted it bad last night. You could tell from the outset, a Toronto guy playing in an arena he grew up in. He talked post-game, and we'll play you the clip in just a second, about just how important it was for him to show up in Toronto. And actually, one of our colleagues here at TSN 1050, Maxine Davis, the aunt to Dylan Brooks. So it's a family affair of TSN 1050 and Dylan Brooks. And here's what he had to say about playing in Toronto last night.
This game was circled for sure. It's been like 4 years, actually. My second year, I broke my toe, so I couldn't play. But it's been circled. I love playing here. It's been a dream. I still have, you know, catalogs from when Vince Carter and Antonio Davis and, you know, Alvin Williams was playing here. You know, I love the culture. I love what's happening with the Raptors. And, yeah, it's been circled for a while.
I thought Dylan Brooks would be more of a, like, Bargnani Bosch vintage than, like, Vince, that's more my age. Like, Dylan Brooks is what, like, 23, 24?
Yeah. He's a young guy, but he would have been very young.
He's 25. He's 25. Okay, so. Yeah.
But he's born, like, you mean, what's his birth date is 96. So he was 2 years old when Vince Carter was drafted. I mean, let's be honest here. So, yeah, he's a young guy, but I guess he grew up as a little toddler, loving the Vince Carter Raptors, seeing Vince as a bit of a cartoon character, which he sort of was in many ways, like a superhero more than a superstar. And so that makes sense. But yeah, great. For this has become a problem for the Raptors to have the great Toronto players, exactly, that dot NBA rosters coming in. It used to be a Leaf thing where all the Toronto born NHLers would roll into town and want to have a big night against the Maple Leafs. Now you got the exact opposite problem, or the same problem, for the Raptors, where you got all the Toronto guys, the GTA, Hamilton area guys that roll into town and absolutely want to go off against the Raptors with their loved ones in the stands and, you know, their own cheering sections, which they've purchased with their own credit cards before the game. So good on Dylan Brooks, but tough on the Raptors, man. Like, this is not going well. I mean, you're 26th in the NBA in true shooting percentage. You're playing at one of the slowest paces in the league, so you're not a particularly fun team to watch. I mean, you got the worst bench in the NBA, AK, by scoring prowess and by minutes. In other words, Nick Nurse doesn't believe in them, and then when he does put them out there, they don't do much. I mean, there's not a lot that you're loving here outside of the bright spot that we're always going to be talking about this year.
Exactly.
Which is Scottie Barnes, who was good awesome again last night.
He was really good. I mean, yeah, the threes continue to pour in for Scottie Barnes. He made three last night. Mm-hmm. And keep in mind, early on in the season, I think leading up to maybe a week, 2 weeks ago, he had taken five threes on the season. Like, he wasn't shooting them at all. And all of a sudden, a switch is flipped in his head where he's like, all right, I'm raining down the three-point barrage. I think that's great to see. Very positive for his development. He was also a beast on the defensive side of the floor. He had two steals and four blocks last night. So he put up a true Andre Kirilenko-esque stat line of 19-7-3-2-4. So filling up the stat sheet for his fantasy owners. So that's good to see. But you're right. I mean, like, Pascal Siakam, he didn't really do anything till the fourth quarter when the Raptors were down double digits. And he tried to get them back in the game, and he was feasting on Kyle Anderson, who couldn't guard him. I mean, that was a joke. And as soon as who was guarding him? Was it Jaren Jackson who was guarding him for a lot of the game? He went out of the game. They kind of switched him to Kyle Anderson, and Siakam just took him to the bucket every single time and was able to score with ease. But Siakam was a ghost for the first three quarters, and, you know, you need him to show up, especially with Fred VanVleet being locked down by Dylan Brooks. And, you know, all of a sudden, you know, Siakam is a non-factor. Van Vliet's being doubled and shadowed by an excellent defender in Brooks. Where are you going to get your offense from? I mean, Scottie Barnes is not your go-to guy at this point in his career. He might eventually become one, but if you're relying on Sfi Mihailuk and Yuta Watanabe and Precious Achiuwa and Malachi Flynn to generate off runs for you, that's how you score 91 points in an NBA game, Dave.
Good luck. No, it's not going to happen. And, you know, the concerning thing is, you know, teams have identified that the head of the snake is Fred VanVleet. You lock him down and everything grinds to a halt, which it did last night in many possessions. And they don't have a counter to it. Like, they have nobody else. Like, if Pascal Siakam's not going to create shots, which he's supposed to be able to do and really hasn't done, on you know, certainly didn't do it for the first three quarters last night, they've got nothing else. And their last, AK, in a stat that bothers me if I'm Nick Nurse, they're last in assist percentage in the NBA, which means you came into the season saying, we're going to get our offense not from one guy because we don't have that superstar that can create buckets on demand. We're going to get our offense through our offense, through collective moving the ball and finding each other and getting open shots. which would indicate that you would have a good assist percentage. A lot of your buckets would be assisted because you're not doing ISO ball. You're not throwing it down to one guy. And they played ISO ball in the championship year a lot with Kawhi Leonard and the rest of those guys. They're not doing either. They don't have an ISO guy, and they're not moving the ball effectively to create buckets for each other. That is a problem, and that's why they've got one of the worst offenses in the NBA.
Things do not get any easier for the Raptors as they host the Milwaukee Bucks on Thursday night. The defending champion Milwaukee Bucks, and Giannis, he's hungry. He's ready
Greektown.
To rock, for
Greektown
sure.
Greektown can come out and woo Giannis, because Giannis, you know, dropped that little nugget in that GQ interview a few weeks ago saying,
please, no.
I'm not in Milwaukee forever. I gave him my championship. I mean, I'm going to be moving on eventually. He's already trying to set the table for a leave. Why not Toronto, man? Why not Toronto?
You know, there's nothing that could draw free agents like playing Malachi Flynn for the entirety of the fourth quarter. I think that's a big-time attraction if I am Giannis coming to Toronto. But going back to Dylan Brooks for a second, of course, Canadian, if and when the Canadian team will ever qualify for an Olympic Games, I mean, he'll be a very important part of that roster. But Jamal Murray, Dylan Brooks, Gilgeous Alexander, R.J. Barrett, Andrew Wiggins –
Wiggins is playing better than
this
anybody.
This team would be so fun to watch.
Oh.
Fully constructed, fully formed. I just hope we get there at some point in time. I guess just still inexplicable. I still can't believe they lost.
He lost to the Czech Republic.
Oh, I mean, that still pisses me off.
It's hard to imagine.
I love the team. Very versatile group. Like a lot of swingmen, guys who could switch on many positions and. Let's hope we see it at some point in time, because they're all young, they're all getting better, and I love what I've seen from all these Canadians so far this year.
Well, how about, let's I mean, you want to talk a little bit about the NBA in Canada. I mean, there's no better story to me than Andrew Wiggins this season. And now, last night, of course, was a down night, a rare down night for the Golden State Warriors. They lost to the Phoenix Suns in probably the game of the year in the NBA so far, because you had Phoenix, which came in, what did they win, 16 in a row coming in, and of course, the Warriors, they were 17-3 rolling in there, and Phoenix outlasted them in the fourth quarter. And Wiggins didn't have a particularly good game last night. He was 4-for-12 from the field, only got 10 points. But Wiggins has had, he had a pretty good year last year with the Warriors were obviously not the team they are this year, but he's been absolutely off the charts this year in his contributions to that Warriors team that is on the rebound, and of course is looking forward to the return of Klay Thompson sometime this month. There's a hope. He's playing already in G League scrimmages and making shots and looking good. So that Golden State team, AK, right now, I know you love to bet futures. If I was going to bet a future, like, I can't think of any team that scares me more than the Golden State Warriors as long as Klay Thompson comes back and can show that he's 80% of the player he was, or 70% of the player he was at his height. I can't imagine anybody's going to beat that team.
No, I'm totally with you. Not to mention Jordan Poole has really taken a big step in place of Klay Thompson. He's been really, really good. You want to know something crazy, Dave? The LA Lakers have the same odds to win the NBA title as the Golden State Warriors do.
That's nuts.
It doesn't make any sense. Lakers,
insane.
A disaster. I don't really understand why the sports books have the reverence for the Lakers. I know it's LeBron James.
Well,
I know it's Anthony
is.
Davis and Russell Westbrook. But come on, I don't think this is just a real team. And they've been so underwhelming. LeBron is now in health protocols, so I don't know if he was exposed to COVID-19, if he tested positive. I don't really know exactly. We haven't been given the details. But, yeah, I just don't understand how you could possibly look at the Lakers in the same vein as you do the Golden State Warriors, who not only, and yes, like you mentioned last night, how they did lose to the Phoenix Suns, but, I mean, this is the best defensive team in the NBA.
Yeah.
Draymond Green is probably going to win Defensive Player of the Year. Steph Curry, I mean, at least at this point, is the MVP. And you add Klay Thompson, and you add James Wiseman, who's the number two overall pick a couple of years ago, and we haven't really seen him in a longer stretch because he's been banged up a lot. So who knows what he'll be able to provide to that
roster. Not sure. I actually think they're worse with Wiseman. They certainly were last year.
Yeah,
so I'm not sure Wiseman. Like, last year, what part of the problem was they were trying to do that thing that's very difficult to do in sports, which is to develop and win at the same time. And they threw Wiseman out there. There was this idea, we're going to play Wiseman no matter what. And when he was on the floor, he was a black hole at times and a big, big minus on most nights. And I watched that team an awful lot. And I was not impressed with Wiseman. As much as you can see the promise down the line, he's not a here and now guy yet. You know, he barely even played in college, and of course, you know, it's just so little competitive experience for various reasons. But I'll tell you what, man, Andrew Wiggins is, you know, the guy that we talk about, you know, the bedrock of Canadian basketball. And I know he's taken a lot of heat for not playing for the national team on many, many off seasons over the years. But of course, he did show up to Victoria for that Olympic qualifier last year that ended so unfortunately in the loss to the Czech Republic. But Wiggins wasn't at fault for that. He was best player on the floor.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously led that incredible comeback that would have turned into a legendary comeback if the national team had actually ended up winning that game. So man, it's nice to see Andrew Wiggins doing what he's doing, because you know, this year could have been a tough one for him. That started off with the whole thing that he wasn't going to get vaccinated for religious reasons. You know, I'm glad to hear that he, you know, saw the light and decided to get vaccinated for the very pragmatic reasons that you're a professional basketball player and you needed that shot in the arm literally to get on the floor. So good for him. But yeah, no, this is going to be a really fun NBA season for Canadian basketball fans, not necessarily because the Raptors are going to be any good, but because the Raptors do have that light at the end of the tunnel in Scottie Barnes, and because there's so many good Canadian players that are really coming into their own at this particular moment in time.
The Brooklyn Nets beat the Knicks last night, Dave, and of course Kyrie Irving remains out. That's a story that kind of has fallen by the wayside, right? Like, we talked so much about Kyrie before the season started. Like, at this point in time, like, does anyone think he's going to play this year? Is he going to play ever again? Like, is he just hoping and praying that the state of New York changes its laws to allow unvaccinated players into sporting? Is that his end game?
I think that was the hope, right? There was the new mayor in town who was a Brooklyn guy who expressed his fandom for the Nets, and there was this feeling that they were going to change the regulations. But now, with what we're seeing around the world and the resurgence of another variant, the idea that any jurisdiction is going to lighten COVID restrictions at this particular moment in time or in the near future, it seems like a long shot to me. And yeah, you wonder what the heck is going on with Kyrie Irving, because it just, to me, it just makes no sense what he's up to. And I just think, I'm sure that Steve Nash, the head coach of that Brooklyn Nets team, and Sean Marks, the GM of that Brooklyn Nets team, were pulling their hair out, asking, you know, what did we do wrong to come cross paths with this particular individual at this particular moment in time? Because it's, you know, the time and the individual, the strong-headed, you know, very intelligent Kyrie Irving.
Yeah,
it's just not making for a very good chemistry on that Brooklyn Nets team, to say the least.
Well, Kevin Durant has very few hairs remaining on his head, so I would encourage him not to pull out any of his hairs and voice his frustration in other ways.
Well, how does Kevin Durant feel, though? Just how do you feel? You left the Golden State Warriors, who a bunch of good guys who play the right way, and you chose Kyrie Irving as your running mate? Like, you might be questioning your judgment if you're Kevin Durant at this particular moment.
No doubt about that. Maybe he comes to his senses and decides to buy in and get the vaccine and be able to play. But at this point in time, we have heard no indication about that or if that's even a possibility in the coming days, weeks, and months. Bang or what? Our producer, Arad Asbandi, will join us on the other side. Liam McHugh, one of our favorites. I love Liam McHugh, one of the best interviews in hockey. He will join us at 8:45 from the NHL on TNT. You saw the Henrik Lundqvist duet with Paul Bissonnette on the most recent. We got to ask him the behind the scenes on that one, because Lundqvist can play some guitar. What can
really
that
good.
Guy do? What a cool dude. Like, one of the coolest on the planet, honestly. And Biz Nasty probably should keep his broadcasting gig intact, because I don't think he's going to be the front man for any band in the near future. We'll play that audio for you coming up in just a little bit. But coming up next, bang or what? With a rod.
Ready, set, react. It's bang or what? Will this segment end with a
bang
or a
what?
First Up continues here on TSN 1050, streaming worldwide, tsn1050.ca and the iHeartRadio Canada app. Aaron Kowalnik with you. Dave Festruck from the Toronto Star in for Carlo Koliakovo this morning. And this hour, First Up, brought to you by Sokolov Lawyers. Seriously injured? Don't put it off. Call Sokolov. Visit ruhurt.ca. They only get paid when you do. We do bang or what every Wednesday morning here on First Up. And we welcome in our producer, Arad Osbandi, as the host. Good morning, Arad.
Good morning, AK. Good morning, Dave. And let's begin. Bang or what? The Leafs should be interested in trading for Jake DeBrusk.
What? I'm not sure about this one, AK. I mean, what are we looking at here with Jake DeBrusk? Why would you need Jake DeBrusk at this particular moment in time? I mean, if you're trading for anything, you know, I'm not sure what it is at this moment. To me, it might be goaltending depth if you are not sure about Peter Mrazek's availability in the long haul with this groin injury that he's allegedly coming back from but hasn't yet returned from. But, you know, Jake DeBrusk is, you know, there's a reason why, you know, what has he got? 6 points in 18 games, had a down year last year with the Bruins. Not my cup of tea. I don't really see the need. I'm a big what.
I'm also what. I mean, the other Bruins cast off that the Maple Leafs acquired, Nick Ritchie, has not performed well. So do you really need a second Bruins cast off? And I think realistically, the price tag a bit exorbitant. You probably have to pay more than you like for DeBrusk, and the Maple Leafs are already virtually devoid of all draft picks. They are the LA Rams of the NHL, so doesn't really make sense in that respect. Although I will say, and I think Noodles made a compelling case for this on Overdrive last night, Jake DeBrusk could be their best left winger if they were somehow to bring him in. I mean, Mikheyev and Bunting and Ritchie and Engvall, I mean, it's not exactly a all-star team of left-wing contingent for the Leafs. But, I mean, I still don't think it's ultimately realistic nor viable to bring in DeBrusk at this point.
Well, yeah, the $3.7 million cap hit doesn't help. I mean, to me, though, Michael Button is making a case that he's fitting in on that top line. At least he has. And in a short run, more needs to be seen before you're convinced that he's the guy there. And Mikheyev coming back is obviously going to be a big boon to this team whenever that happens, and it's expected in the next week or two, I guess. So, yeah, I just don't see the need. I really don't. And I don't see it being a practicality either, to your point, AK. They just don't have the assets.
Michael Bunting, more even strength points than Zach Hyman. Just saying.
Yeah.
Just saying. What's next, Arad? Go ahead.
Bang or what? The Leafs being fourth in ESPN's newest power rankings. It goes Hurricanes, Panthers, Capitals, Leafs.
I'd give that a bang. I mean, that sounds about right. I mean, yeah, as much as you can say the Leafs have been the best team in the league since they, you know, have reeled off this incredible stretch after their four-game losing streak that had everybody on high alert and had Brendan Shanahan joining the road trip, and there was this feeling that jobs were on the line if they didn't pull that game out against the lowly Chicago Blackhawks. But you know, since then, they've been probably the best team in the league, but that down streak happened. Like, they had that losing streak. The same guys that are winning all these games lost all those games. And I think, yeah, look, it's about the long haul here. There's no doubt about that. And those other teams that are listed ahead of the Maple Leafs in the power rankings have had better seasons at large.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I think it's clearly a bang. I mean, the Leafs have won 14 of 16. How could you not consider them at this very moment a top five team in the National Hockey League? That being said, like, you know, the team that's in town tonight, the Colorado Avalanche. Do I think the Leafs have a better chance to win the Stanley Cup than Colorado? No, I don't. I think Colorado's a better, more complete team than the Toronto Maple Leafs. But at this very moment in time, there's no denying the Leafs are a top five team, or in this case, a top four team as far as the power rankings go. I think ESPN nailed it.
Bang or what? Alvin Gentry apologizing to Sacramento Kings fans after the Lakers go on a 40-8 run to beat the Kings on the road.
Oh, bang for that. I mean, good on Alvin. Alvin's a veteran coach. He understands, you know, how to communicate with both a player group and a fan base, and that was disgraceful. I mean, look, the Sacramento Kings are nobody's idea of a good NBA team, but to allow the Lakers to do what they did in that game and to let the Lakers off the hook, so to speak, at a moment when the Lakers, as we discussed earlier in the show, are really a down team right now who had title hopes but really don't look like they have realistic title prospects. I think Alvin Gentry, you know, made the right move there. I mean, you like to think you could have beat that Lakers team at home with the Lakers reeling, and yet you let it slip away.
Man, Sacramento, like, when was the last time they put a decent team on the floor with like Chris Webber and Mike Bibby and Brad Miller? Like, it's been forever. They've been a joke for a very long time. They fired their coach after the Raptors beat them at home a couple of weeks ago. And, I mean, it's just been a complete disaster. And last night, yet another in a lineage of disasters for the Kings. Arad? Oh, and Arad's gone. Okay, well,
I have
some more bang or whats for us, Dave.
Okay.
Bang or what to the O-Dog, who we heard on Overdrive yesterday afternoon, reveal that he plans to take up rock climbing.
Oh, bang! Love the O-Dog taking up new activities. We know he's an adventurer. We know he loves to, you know, ski down the slopes of Collingwood at very high rates of speed. And I love that this is a guy who... elite goal scorer in his time in the NHL, never shies away from a challenge. Even if you could take on Al's brother as a gambling partner, you can climb rocks.
Well, I think it's pretty clear that it should be O-Dog versus Al's brother in some rock climbing events.
I like that.
Have you been rock climbing before, Dave? Is that ever something that
you've partaken in? You know, like I'd be lucky to climb a gravel path that's on a gentle slope. That's about the extent of my rock climbing. How about you?
I did go rock climbing once. It was probably like 12 years ago, and it is a very physically taxing activity. And I know the O-Dog. Listen, unbelievable athlete. The guy scored 41 goals in the National Hockey League. I mean, it's pretty impressive stuff. He's a guy who can handle himself quite well in any type of physical activity. He doesn't want to rock climb. I'm telling you.
I think he does.
No, he doesn't. And I guarantee you he won't, because he will climb one of those rungs and he'll be like, what the hell am I doing? I got to get back to the golf course, work on my short game. Not that he needs to work on his short game, but he's not going to do it.
I'll tell you, he will do it, because here's the thing. What is the thing that separates goal scorers from the regular schleps who can't put the puck in the net? It's hands, right? And what is it, like, from my understanding of it, and I watched that documentary, the Free Solo, where the guy climbs that incredible rock without any ropes, which is just the death wish, of course, and sees all his buddies in the free climbing business dying one by one, falling off, you know, rock faces, and he's still up there. But what does he talk about? He talks about hand strength, right? You got to have that hand strength, the ability to just grip something with incredible, you know, tenacity and endurance. And I'm telling you, hockey guys that have great hands, they've got that hand strength. The O-Dog has got incredibly strong hands. He will take to the rocks like a monkey on a tree.
Bang or what, Dave? Tiger Woods will play at Augusta National at the Masters in 2022.
Big bang! He's snowing us, AK. That whole press conference yesterday in the Bahamas. If you don't understand the psychology of Tiger Woods by now, what has it been, 25 years since we got to know this young man as he stormed to victory at Augusta National, you don't understand Tiger Woods. Yesterday was a setup. Yesterday was setting expectations so low that, I can barely walk. I nearly have my leg amputated. I'm never going to be able to hit the ball very far anymore. The ball's falling out of the sky way earlier than it's supposed to. He's trying to pretend he's some sort of feeble creature who is going to, like, kind of limp into retirement. He's Tiger Woods. He's only 2 years removed from winning the Masters. The leg's going to be fine. Don't kid yourself. The swing looked great. He is going to be playing on the PGA Tour quicker than he is letting on, in my view, because why would he set expectations too high? He's a master of understanding how... Look, it was when he turned 40 he was saying, I'm never going to play again. He told Lauren Rubenstein, the great Toronto golf writer, had that interview, I've come to the idea that I'll never win again, never play again, and I'm good with that. Then he went off that, you know, won another Masters. I mean, this guy is the ultimate con man, and he's conning us with this one.
Okay, I could not possibly agree more with you on basically everything you said there. I guarantee you, Tiger Woods comes out yesterday, he's telling his people, Steiny, you know, whoever's around his inner circle, his girlfriend, probably even Charlie's like, watch this, guys. I'm going to tell this the media. They're all going to eat it up. Oh, like, I don't know if I'll ever be able to get back to this level. My leg is never going to... Like, I don't buy a single word he said. I think that was like a absolute PR stunt where he is setting expectations so low for himself and he's going to exceed them by a massive margin. It wouldn't surprise me if he plays in that PNC championship in a couple of weeks. Like, I think that's very realistic, not to mention he can take a cart. And I know, listen, there's a lot of people, including Cole Iacobo, who kind of believe Tiger. And you heard Chris Altman from the No Laying Up podcast on Overdrive last night. A lot of people are buying what Tiger is selling. I am not. I think it's much like, remember when Justin Trudeau was talking about vaccine delivery? He's like, oh, we hope everyone will be vaccinated by September or October. Yeah. When it was done in June, it's the ultimate under-promise, over-deliver. And that's exactly what Tiger is going to execute as well, because when he does return for Augusta National, there is zero doubt in my mind he will. And again, I don't buy anything he said in that press conference at all. It's going to be a spectacle unlike any other. And 2019 was an incredible accomplishment. When he's in competition to win that green jacket come April, maybe I'm being a little bit over-optimistic, but it'll be even more impressive than it was in 2019. And that was the pinnacle of sport, if you ask me.
It really was, AK. And I think, like, going back even, you know, years and years, I've been lucky enough to hang out at Augusta National for a few Masters, and talking to the guys who know the game much better than I do, there was always this feeling that Tiger Woods was going to be able to compete at Augusta National into his 50s, because Augusta National is about knowing Augusta National, right? Obviously, you have to hit the shots. You have to drive it fairly well, but there's no rough. I mean, you don't have to drive it in the fairway and to compete there necessarily. You don't have to drive it particularly long to win there. I mean, we've seen guys who don't drive it long. Mike Weir is a good example of a guy who didn't drive it long and still was able to win a green jacket. So if he's, you know, if his driver's down a little bit because of the leg, if his swing speed's not what it used to be because he used to really wail on the thing and now he's got to go at it at 80%, that doesn't worry me. He still got the hands of Tiger Woods. He still got the brain of Tiger Woods, right? This is a guy whose mental fortitude and ability to conjure shots is unmatched in his generation and maybe any generation. So I'm not worried about Tiger Woods. As long as he can walk around that golf course, I'm not betting against him.
No, it's one of the great athletes of all time within modern medicine. And listen, I understand he had a very serious car accident. Maybe what he was saying about amputation being on the table with regards to his right leg, maybe that is factually correct. But I fully expect him to make a full recovery. And listen, he's got his back woes from many years of Army training, Navy training. You know, we've all read the books. And heard the stories about Tiger and his training back in the day, but you see those biceps popping, those triceps popping.
He hasn't missed an arm day, baby.
No kidding about that. Wear a tighter shirt. The boy's small looks good on Mr. Eldrick Woods. Well, we have Liam McHugh from the NHL on TNT joining us next. We'll ask him what it's like working with Henrik Lundqvist. I mean, that looks like a joy, because, man, that is one cool customer indeed. And it is Pens and Oilers on the NHL on TNT this evening. So Crosby versus McDavid, always a spectacle in the hockey world when those two get together and go head-to-head. So Liam McHugh, NHL on TNT, next on First Up. A big night ahead in the world of hockey. The Toronto Maple Leafs hosting the Colorado Avalanche, a game you can hear right here on TSN 1050. That's at 7:30. But tonight, also in Edmonton, the Pittsburgh Penguins taking on the Oilers. It's Crosby versus McDavid, a game featured on the NHL on TNT broadcast. And it's always a big morning for us here on First Up when we are joined by the host of the NHL on TNT. We call him the American James Duthie. Our friend Liam McHugh. Good morning, my man. How are you?
I'm great. I love that introduction. A little beef between me and Duffy right now, because he says I'm soft because I enjoy the warm weather down here, because we're in Atlanta for TNT. Okay. Listen, I just enjoy the finer things here. You know, I'm sorry. If Duffy enjoys shoveling, that's on him. I've shoveled plenty of snow, and I'm comfortable being, at this point in my life, considered soft by him.
Absolutely. Well, Duthie had to go to Regina, Saskatchewan to cover the West semifinal in the Canadian Football League last week, Liam. So I think you're out a little bit ahead staying in Atlanta as opposed to going to Regina in November.
I think he's just bitter, you know. He's resorted to name-calling. And we'll see where it goes from here. But I'm training hard. I'm staying sharp, and I'm waiting for Dottie.
All right, Liam. Well, we love the panel work on the NHL and TNT. Love the energy, the fun you guys bring every week, and I'm sure tonight will be no exception with the Pens and the Oilers. But I must admit, it's going to be hard to top last week. Henrik Lundqvist there playing guitar with Biz Nasty, and we have the audio. We'll play it for our audience in case you missed it. Here's how it sounded. This is Lundqvist playing guitar and Paul Bissonnette on the vocals.
So close, no matter how far.
Yeah.
Couldn't be much more from the heart.
That's the gist of it. So, Liam, explain to us exactly how this all transpired, how you had one of the great goaltenders in recent history strap it up and slay the guitar. And, man, that's a cool customer in Lundqvist, is he not?
He's as cool as it gets. He's almost, like, irritatingly cool, right? Like, because he's, you know, fashionable, great-looking. And then he comes in, and someone asks, like, oh, can you play the guitar? Will you do this? He's like, yeah, sure, no problem. He comes on. He's real modest about it. And then he's amazing at it, of course. And then on top of it, he's smart and, like, a really nice guy. So it's one of those things where, like, you don't want to like him because too much is going well for this guy in his life. But it was awesome having him on. He was fun. He was personal. He got the show, you know, which I think is a big part of it, that we're loose and we're there to have fun. And then there's Biz, who, you know, let's be honest. I mean, I don't think it's a big stretch to say the songbird of a generation was born that night. Yeah. Truly a renaissance man in hockey. Either that or Biz is like the Forrest Gump of hockey, where he just finds himself in all these cool situations and no one really knows how, but he's in the middle of it. So one of those two things. But that's what I love about Biz. I have no idea what to expect at any point.
So, Liam, I was noticing on social media, you talk about how cool Lundqvist is, and you're his colleague in a moment like that, but I was understanding that he's not willing or able to add you to his contacts on his phone. What's going on with that?
Yeah. I mean, it's a weird life, right, where you're like, hey, I got to talk to Henrik Lundqvist now. Like, while your buddies that you grew up with are, like, texting you about their fantasy team, you're like, hang on, I got to call Henrik Lundqvist, boys. Right. But I call, you know, we talk before the show, and then I realize that I'm going to have to talk to him again. But I'm like, surely Henrik Lundqvist has not saved my number in his phone the way I immediately saved his in mine because I thought it was cool. So now every time I'm texting him, it's this idea of, like, either he has done it, which he probably hasn't, or I'm texting him like I'm a 75-year-old person and then leaving dash Liam McHugh at the end of every text because I don't understand how technology works. So one way or the other, he's rolling his eyes at me at how not cool I am. But you know what? I know my role, and my role is not to be cool here. So that's fine.
It can be very humbling if you text somebody and you eventually find out that you've actually never saved your number. It's just like 647, whatever. Like, wow, that is the type of respect that some people have for me. And that's definitely very applicable to me. Not to you, Liam McHugh, the host of the NHL
on
TNT.
No, but you know when you get it back immediately, they're like, I totally agree, buddy.
Yeah.
You're like,
yeah.
Oh, that person doesn't know who this is.
Exactly. That's how I operate with Carlo Colaiacovo here in Toronto. I know every time I get a response from him, it's always a momentous occasion. Liam McHugh from the NHL on TNT is our guest. Now, your colleague, Biz Nasty, has been a big-time supporter of the Toronto Maple Leafs. He's a mm-hmm. believer. He's made that abundantly clear on numerous occasions. I believe he called them, and I quote, an absolute wagon. Not really sure what that means, but that's a term I'm going to utilize on my own. What is your view on the Leafs, who have won 14 of their last 16, Liam?
It's hard to argue with it at this point. I love everything about the way, obviously, their top guys, their big money guys are playing right now, because they're playing like big money guys. They're all producing. The goaltending's been excellent. But more than that, I mean, they're getting some depth scoring, and they seem to be focused defensively. And I mean, I think that's the big question. Can a team full of offensive superstars decide to play a defensive game and play a tight defensive game? And it looks like they found ways to win those games. And, you know, Rick Tocchet made a good point, too, where when you come off of the way things ended for the Leafs last year, and I guess you can go back several years at this point, obviously, considering the playoff drought, you want to get off to a good start, and the Leafs did not. The Leafs dealt with adversity immediately, and Tocchet thinks that this may have been the best thing for them, where they dealt with it. They had some voices speak up in the locker room saying, this can't go on. We have to change some things. We have to focus. We have to grind down. And they did that, and now they are absolutely rolling. But, as you know, it's Toronto, so everyone's going to say, prove it in the playoffs. So it's one thing where it's like, can you even enjoy this in this moment, or do you have to sit there and say, that's great. Let's see what happens in the playoffs. I would say enjoy what you're watching right now. It's fantastic. And it looks like it can translate into the postseason. And that's great news.
Yeah, well, we'll see about that, Liam, for sure. But
that's the right answer.
Yeah, for sure. But, I mean, more immediate news. Interesting decision from the NHL Department of Player Safety last night, Liam. Brendan Lemieux of the LA Kings suspended for biting Ottawa's Brady Tkachuk. And the suspension, you know, questionable. 5 games for a pretty good bite. What do you make of that?
Yeah, it was a bizarre player safety video to watch, right? You know, they all sort of feel like you're watching the same one over and over, and this one obviously did not feel that way when they're talking about, like, we only could really judge them on the evidence of a bite on one hand, as we did not have video evidence to support a bite on the other hand. And you're like, what is happening here? Like, what am I watching? And that it was a forceful bite and something that's extremely dangerous. And of course, I love the idea that it's not a hockey play. I think we got that. I think we know it's not a hockey play at this point. It seemed a little light, obviously. I think it's a situation where you can't obviously have that in a game, and it's not a visual anyone who's associated with this league wants to see, where a player gets up, holds his hand up, it's bleeding. He said, look at him, he bit me. I mean, nobody wants that. I was surprised. He has a history, not of biting, but of being suspended. I thought he'd get more than this. I'm surprised he didn't. We will be talking about it tonight. We will be going down the history of my esteemed colleagues, whether they have bitten anyone or been bitten. And I can tell you, I think they've been on both ends of that. And I think we're going to have someone saying there is a time where you are allowed to bite. Wow. There is a time where that's allowed. So
what a tease.
I urge people to tune in. I would imagine it has something to do with if someone shoves their entire hand into your mouth and you can do nothing else.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm hoping that's the reason, but I have been told that someone is going to be brave tonight and come to, not to Lemieux's defense, but say that there is a moment in time where biting is acceptable.
Liam, Jack Hughes signed a big ticket yesterday, and he's the number one overall pick of the Devils, a guy who clearly has a ton of potential but has yet to live up to that potential. And listen, I understand he's still a kid, he's very young, but were you surprised to see the 8-year, $8 million per year deal that the Devils gave to Hughes yesterday?
Yes. Yeah, short answer, yes. I'm surprised. I think as you mentioned, he's not a guy who's exactly lit it up in this league since coming in. He's had flashes, and flashes of the type of brilliance that you want from a number one pick. And I think you've seen this year, before he got hurt, really those moments where it felt a little bit like Patrick Kane on the ice. And that's tantalizing. And when you see that, you feel like, oh, well, we have to lock this guy up. Absolutely. This is our future, and this is potentially a top 10 player. But he's not there yet. He isn't. And it also seemed like a lot of money to put out for a player who is not produced at this point, considering everything that's happening financially with the league and financially with the world right now. I think there's uncertainty with money in the league. And obviously the cap being what it is, I don't know. It felt like a lot, but I guess the Devils see this guy as only going on an upward trajectory from where he is right now. And just the idea that, I don't know, he's young and maybe you worry about losing him. But let's be honest, the last time someone, I think, signed a deal like this where it was a franchise saying, you know what, he's extremely talented, he's young, and we want to make sure that we never lose him. I can look at Jack Eichel. I mean, Eichel had produced more at that point. But that deal felt like, we can't lose this guy from Buffalo. He was, you know, a number two overall pick and generational talent. And where's Eichel now? So, I don't know. It was surprising, but you know, I'm not going to begrudge anyone for getting their money in this game or in this world. So, you know, my hat's off to them. But, yeah, a little bit at this point.
So a pretty wild night in the NHL last night, Liam. You know, the Panthers came back from a three-goal deficit, scored four in the third to beat the Capitals. And I was interested in one of your tweets. The Blues were going into OT against the Lightning, and you called it the most exciting thing in sports, three-on-three OT. What makes you say that?
I just think it has the potential every single night to be nonstop action. And at times, like, even that enjoyable sort of sloppy, chaotic sports action that everyone loves, where it's up and down and back and forth. And if you get great goaltending, it could be chance after chance after chance. I think there's nothing like it at all. And I always believe that when it's done, and if it's finished and nobody scores, and then we go to a shootout, to me, that is like the ultimate buzzkill. Maybe one out of every 20 shootouts do I stand up and feel like, wow, that was amazing. But for the most part, I'm like, oh, just keep playing 3-on-3. Let's just keep this going because it's so much better. It's fast-paced. It's open ice. You get to see the best players in the world showcase their skills. I just don't think there's anything like it. And I love all sports. I've covered all sports. But, you know, there's no – just the idea that there's potentially no stoppages, too. I love the way goalies play it. You know, if you make a glove save, they're immediately looking to outlet the puck because they want to keep this going and they don't want to face off. That's what I want to see. I don't want to see whistles. I want to see guys skating up and down, nobody grabbing, nobody committing penalties, but just a pure skill game. I don't know. I love it. I wish we could have more of it. I don't think it's the type of thing we're ever going to see in the playoffs, obviously. Yeah. But I am I'm not a huge shootout guy. I think 3-on-3 overtime and continuing with that is the way to go. And I'll tell you, furthermore, I know there are people that can coach around that 3-on-3 and slow it down and make it a little bit uglier because they're worried about their team losing. I don't want any of those coaches in the league because they're boring. They don't do that. Don't slow down 3-on-3 overtime. Please, amen. It's selfish. We want to
enjoy if you leave your own zone, if you like skate it back, I think it should be a penalty or something. I mean, just keep the pressure on. Like, seriously, though, I mean, it just stunts the excitement and really the purpose of the overtime, kind of the back and forth. And listen, I understand the purpose is winning the hockey game. And yeah. Generally speaking, if you are withdrawing from your own zone and trying to maybe recalibrating and get your offensive rush going in a different way, that's advantageous. But I don't know. I don't like it as a fan. Liam McHugh from the NHL on TNT is our guest. I'm sure the conversation about the Montreal general manager job will come up over the course of your broadcast tonight between the Pens and the Oilers. And Patrick Waugh is a name that has emerged. And he is bilingual, which, of course, is a prerequisite for any general manager of the Montreal Canadiens for some reason. If you were Jeff Gorton, the new president of hockey operations, would you be keen on welcoming in Patrick Waugh to your newly formed management group?
Oh, that's a great question. I think it's I don't know, maybe be a little hesitant because I know it's a person with extremely strong opinions. And I know you want that, but now you have two people who think they're gonna be right about making decisions and you're gonna have to find a way to work together. And you know, there's gonna be there's gonna be disagreement. There's gonna be a power structure that's going to be challenged. I don't know. I mean, I personally, as a fan, I want to see it. I mean, I'm not Jeff Gorton, so I want to see it because I want to see what happens. And I'm not a fan of the Montreal Canadiens. I don't wish them anything bad, but I want to see something interesting. And so for me, this is as interesting as it gets. Jeff Gorton, I don't know if it makes his job necessarily that much easier, except for the fact that I think he knows young players. I think he'd be a huge asset in scouting, and obviously, he's going to be a huge asset in terms of the fact that he's bilingual and fans there will love him. So, yeah, in some ways it takes that public pressure off of him. But I don't know. I mean, you need someone that you can work with if you're Jeff Gorton. You need someone that you can trust and you need someone. And I'm not saying that Patrick Waugh wouldn't be those things. But that needs to be a relationship that hums pretty quickly. Because as much as I know the owner said they'd be comfortable with a rebuild, I grew up in New York, and you know, to me, it's like if the Yankees came out and said we're going to rebuild, and I don't know that people would be all that comfortable with it for that long. So it's got to get moving, it's got to get going. Personally, I hope it happens because you know, listen, we need some content. I want to talk about it. Let's make this happen. But
we're in the same business. The content business, very important in sports broadcasting. Well, we know Biz Nasty sung Nothing Else Matters by Metallica last week. What will he sing tonight? If anything, you'll have to be tuned in to the NHL on TNT broadcast, the Pens and the Oilers. You'll see our man Liam McHugh hosting the panel. Thank you for the time, as always.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
All right, that is Liam McHugh from the NHL on TNT, the American James Duthie. I'm not sure if that's flattering to Liam, flattering to Duthie, but we love them both, so why not douse them with compliments whenever we can.
Oh, yeah. Hey, they deserve it. They're good. They're pros. And, no, Liam's got some interesting takes. I think it's great to see, you know, as much as, you know, we don't need, as Canadians, we don't need the affirmation of Americans. I think it's nice when, you know, the American sports media, the bigger conglomerates who take it very seriously, get in on hockey. I think it's injected something kind of fresh into hockey that we've been missing from the south of the border.
I agree, and I think on the NHL and TSN broadcast, they should be playing guitar as well. I want the O-Dog singing songs, much like Biz Nasty was doing that. I think that would be a hit for ratings, and again, huge for content here at TSN and TSN 1050. Well, no shortage of content provided by the Toronto Blue Jays of late, signing Kevin Gausman, Robbie Ray, Marcus Semien out the door. Could Chris Bryant be an option for the Jays? Ooh. How about Freddie Freeman? We asked Steve Phillips a little bit earlier about the possibilities of both of those options. What did he have to say? Find out next.